If you could continue to do your job, but be able to travel the world, see new cities, have a few new employees and coworkers, and also get paid more, would you do it? That's essentially the decision that might be facing women's basketball players the next year, and potentially some men's basketball players as well. Welcome to this edition of Business Decision with Mike Vorkunov. I'm Mike Vorkunov, where we're going to talk about what we used to call the Maverick Carter League, but no longer apparently has Maverick Carter. LeBron's very bad week and some good and bad decisions. Today with me on the show, Yaron Weitzman, NBA reporter, author extraordinaire. You got your second book coming out later this month.
I'm not supposed to be officially promoting it until it comes out. So we are not promoting it yet.
But okay, we're not plugging it hard.
This is not a podcast for the book. It's just a podcast.
Yeah. No, this is Business Decision. I'm Mike Vorkunov. I'm a reporter with The Athletic. But on my show today, Yaron, I wanted to talk to you about Project B. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, though I thought it was like what's Brad Pitt, Plan B? I got confused the first time I saw a headline. I genuinely thought Brad, I think it was in your story in The Athletic. I was like, is Brad Pitt investing in some sort of Maverick Carter League? Which honestly, if I told you that was the case, you wouldn't be shocked, right? So yes, I have heard of it, and this you will enlighten me, and I remain perhaps more confused than ever. So,
well, let's do a quick TLDR. If you remember back in the wintertime, a few stories came out about how Maverick Carter was consulting on a basketball league that helped to go through a few European and Asian cities, hire potentially some well-known players, and had intentions to raise $5 billion. And then we heard nothing about it for like 5 months. And then in July, there was an Instagram photo with Maverick Carter, again, a longtime friend and business associate of LeBron James, with LeBron James and a pretty powerful European agent on a yacht in the south of France saying, hey, let's make plans for fall 2026. And then we went a few more months and didn't hear anything about it again. Well, this week in The Athletic, me, Sam Amick, and Joe Varden wrote a story that shed some more light on this new league. It's called Project B. It intends to launch next fall with the Women's Basketball League. And perhaps maybe the headline, Maverick Carter, for now, does not seem to be involved anymore, according to sources that we have, and also Brady Burnett, who's a co-founder of this league. It's raising a lot of money. He didn't say exactly how much. It's got partners with Sela, which is an entertainment company owned by PIF, which is a sovereign wealth fund from Saudi Arabia, and with it'll be headquartered in Singapore. Here's the big question for you, Ro. On the record, why? Brady Burnett told me that they intend to start with the Women's Basketball League. They want to run it from November to April. They intend to give out equity. They intend to give out much higher salaries than women's basketball has seen. And he didn't deny that they could eventually go to a men's basketball league down the line. Again, maybe as soon as next fall. Are we going to see competitors to the NBA, to the WNBA? No. Certainly maybe. Unrivaled, right? This seems like it could take a bite out of Unrivaled, which runs in the WNBA offseason. You're saying we cannot ever see any kind of competitors to the NBA. Obviously, the first comparison that everyone talked about was this being live basketball. The Saudis are not, as of right now, investors in it. Why do you say that it can't potentially rival the NBA or the WNBA?
This whole thing, who's this for? That's what I want to know. Who's this for? I feel like, especially from the NBA side, it's for, I'm not even going to say LeBron. His crew, Maverick Carter, I know he's not involved. It just seems like it's a bunch of people sitting around with too much time on their hands and saying, we're going to be disruptors. How can we disrupt? Let's do this. I have an idea. Like, who's running a league? You would have more report. You have more reporting on this. You would have more insight. If you asked me to guess, honestly, what happened is that they realized that the men's league had no shot at succeeding and backed off of that. That would be my guess here, because these leagues don't succeed. B-level, we'll get to women's in a second. That's the B-level men's league that has succeeded, right?
There isn't one.
Even football, which is this monster, we see it everywhere. Football's this monster here. It blows basketball out of the water. And the spring football, we all know, it doesn't work. trying again. Is USFL, does it still exist right now? The Fox USFL stuff?
I think they merged with the XFL and they're still doing their thing.
I genuinely don't know. The only reason I knew when I was used to be at Fox, they would make us write about it and talk about it, right? Like, I'm not, it's not even, if you want to get a kick out of something, watch during a USFL season, like Nick Wright have to do a USFL hit during his hit show. And you could just say, oh man, I guess even at the top of the entertainment industry, you still have a boss. Yeah, so NFL doesn't work. I guess you want to say big three. This seems like to me like the closest analogy would have been big three, right? The big three, which has some, they get some guys, right? They have some hoopers, some guys, some names you recognize. And I guess you want to say that was success in that it got a TV deal. Cool. Again, it's a success for the people who maybe threw, like for Ice Cube and his partner who maybe threw some money in there. Nobody else is watching it. Nobody cares. It's irrelevant. Would you disagree with anything I'm saying? Like that?
I mean, I don't watch it. But it's managed to stay around for a while. It's got a TV deal on CBS. Like, it's not nothing.
They're
selling individual teams now.
But it's not, I wouldn't even say it's on the uptick. Like, it's not rising. It just seems like it's just settled into its spot of, I don't even know. You see sometimes on Twitter and certain famous beat reporters break news on it.
Here's the big question. This is what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
You've covered the NBA for a long time. You know people in the league, you know agents in the league, you know players in the league. Would they be able to get players to play there? There are two problems. Let me break it down for you because not everyone who's listening to the show understands the dynamics of the NBA because they don't follow as closely as we do. One is the money, obviously, right? You got to be paid enough. When we see players go over to smaller leagues, say in soccer, it's also because they get paid extravagant amounts of money.
Yep.
In the NBA, a player who got drafted in the 2022 draft class could become a billionaire on NBA contracts alone. You know, soon we're going to have $100 million salaries within, like 8 years.
I just saw Christian Braun, a random seventh man or fifth, whatever, on the Nuggets is like, I think Jake Fisher had a thing today, $25 million a year is what he's looking for, right?
Like, that's listen, it's absurd. You're going to have like $80 million annual salaries by the end of this decade, right? Yeah. That's one part. It's like, can you pay them enough? That's a big question, right? And the other part is, do they want to play overseas? Like, we see in the G League, guys continue to play in the G League and stay in America because they'd rather do that than go to Europe and live in Europe, right? And turn down bigger paydays, having already made significantly less money in their careers than some of these NBA players. And in the NBA, you can't play in another league if you're under contract with a team. Your player contract specifically bars you from doing that. And unless you want to go to court against the NBA, who is known as nothing but attorneys, right? Like, I don't know if you want to do that. So that's the other big question to me. Now, where I think this gets interesting is for women's basketball. We've already seen the Unrivaled League get some traction. What happens if this thing loads up and gets WNBA players too? Because their salaries are much lower. And as we know, they're fighting with the WNBA, the league right now, to get paid more. Unrivaled's pitch is we'll give you equity. We'll give you higher salaries. What if this league comes over the top and gives them even higher salaries? What if it gives them equity in their league? Like, I'm very curious to see what this means, obviously, for men's basketball, but also for women's basketball, because that's where I think the great, you know, kind of restructuring can happen.
So, okay, we agree. For men's, I want to put a bow on the men's thing. Like that what you brought up is the point, right? That no one good is, everyone good and even like average in the NBA is getting paid way too much to, I mean, you'd have to offer them $100 million a year, right? You'd have to offer a random seventh man $100 million a year to get to even consider it. So, you know, you can get like, I was at the Knicks game last night. You can get like 31-year-old Jordan Clarkson maybe if you gave him $30 million, right? Like those random guys. Cool. Nobody's paying to watch them. Irrelevant. And never mind the fact that you have to get the infrastructure of a league. So
when guys go, do you think guys, now that Maverick Carter, at least as of now, is not associated with the league, right? Maverick Carter has had his own business success. You know, he's with Uninterrupted and Spring Hill and all that. But he's known most famously as LeBron James' business partner and his longtime friend. And obviously that brings over kind of like the shine of LeBron James with you. If he's no longer associated with it, are NBA players even willing to trust it as much?
No. Why would they? Why would you go there? I mean, I guess so, but it's no different than a guy if you sign for Real Madrid. But I mean, Brandon Jennings that one year, I know it wasn't completely exact. Like, just like, you know, if a guy goes and signs with a big European team late in his career, right? We talk about, there was all these reports that Russell Westbrook was going to go play overseas, right? You can get a guy like that. But nobody's caring. So the women's part is more interesting. It's I think, and I assume they that's part of the reason why they've sort of made this. I'm going to call it a pivot because the original reporting, it was leaning, the original reporting, which I believe was in Bloomberg, right? Which was random. Mm-hmm. Wasn't even a sports thing.
Bloomberg and Financial Times.
Yep. They were leaning on, they were pushing the part, men's part, for sure. And they were pushing Maverick Carter's involvement. Like those were, that's what it was being pushed at. And the Instagram picture that this group knows very well what they were doing, right? With LeBron sitting on the boat. The yacht, I'm assuming. With the big European agent, Nikola Jokic's European agent. By the way,
Maverick Carter went to the Sloan Sports Conference in March and said that they wanted to create another option for players. Not replace the NBA, but create another option.
Correct.
And Grady Burnett, the co-founder of this league, confirmed to me that you know this yacht meeting that they had in July was about this league. So they were talking about it as recently as the summertime, at the very least.
So that's why this is a pivot, right? This wasn't like, oh, we were always doing, no. The idea was a men's league, and maybe they got smart and realized that had no shot. I don't know, right?
I think they still start one, by the way. They didn't deny that they're not going to do it.
Start one? Well, I mean, if they do, they're fools, but good luck. The women's part's more interesting, and it obviously comes at this fascinating, I mean, I call it an inflection point, but just period in women's basketball in America, right? And we have basically an open revolution in the WNBA right now.
It's been fascinating to watch.
Right, yeah. So there's definitely a void that can be filled. Professional women basketball players in America have historically shown a willingness to go overseas and play in foreign countries and play in other leagues in a way that men have not, right? So that's part of it. So it's not... Like, you're not a trailblazer if you do it. I don't think anyone's going to go to Russia again, but maybe we can go to other countries. So that part's interesting. The part is you're playing catch-up on Unrivaled, right? Like, you know this because you talk to more people about this stuff than me, but, like, it's the boring stuff that can sink a league. Like, the infrastructure and who's running operations and your arenas and all this, like, stuff that nobody actually wants to talk about. But, like, if you don't have that locked in, you got nothing, right? And the fact that they're playing catch up to me would be sort of the concern. Like if Unrivaled the smart, Unrivaled's in position to pounce because they're operating already. They are in position to pounce and take advantage of this vacuum might be creating here, right? That might be in the verge of being created here with the WNBA labor battles. Can this Maverick Carter, non-Maverick Carter women's basketball league be up and running in time? I mean, you tell me. I'm dubious on that.
Well, I think it can be up and running and they want to launch next fall. To me, the big question is maybe that will decide which league survives and thrives if it's, you know, next to the WNBA and maybe the ultimate future of Unrivaled. Who gets Caitlin Clark?
That's a great
point. She didn't play last year in Unrivaled. It doesn't seem like she's playing this year. Will she play next year somewhere in the WNBA offseason? And if so, which league would she choose? Because I think the league that gets Caitlin Clark is the one that gets the attention, is the one that can then survive. And I don't know, that might just be the determining factor. No matter what you think of Unrivaled, the star power that it has so far with Nafisa Collier as a co-founder, with Brianna Stewart as a co-founder, that's Angel Reese, who is a big, huge star in her own right. Maybe it just comes down to who gets Caitlin Clark.
I mean, you know, all women's basketball ratings, they go up, but they've all shown that she's also a unicorn, right, with that stuff. Not to say that others haven't participated.
I mean, she's a unicorn for sports, period.
Correct, like, exactly.
Caitlin Clark might be the biggest generator of ratings outside of the NFL. Like,
it's LeBron, Steph, her. Like, these are these people who come around once a generation for any sport, right? And like the NFL is, I don't even know if they have that person now, right? The NFL is it itself, right? But these people who just like their economies, sports economies unto themselves. So yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. Thus far, if you ask me to bet, I mean, she has shown, I'm not going to say a reticence, how about that, to dive fully into these labor wars and sort of, you know, be the person. She hasn't left the impression that she wants to sort of lead the charge into a uprising and a breakaway from the WNBA, right? So I'd be surprised if she left. Even the fact that she wasn't in Unrivaled, right? That was interesting in itself because John Skipper, you've heard him talk about this on podcast, the former head of ESPN and runs Unrivaled, but he's basically alluded to the fact that they made her Godfather offers, right? Like, it's just like that, whatever, it would have been, here, here's your check, fill it in, and whatever else you want.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd be, but I, yeah, I mean, I think you're probably right on that one.
It's gonna be fascinating because obviously whoever gets Caitlin Clark, wherever she goes, people tune in and watch. And I think that's what LeBron James was counting on this past week when he made his cryptic tweet saying to watch out for a second decision. And boy, did that not go well for him. LeBron James might have had one of the worst weeks of his career this past week with that tweet, that ad campaign. And now it's been news that he's going to miss opening night for the first time in his 23-year career with a case of sciatica. LeBron James, much like me, DNP, old, and it's rough timing. But I want to ask, Yaron, did you buy into the ad campaign? Did you care? Or did you see it, like so many others did, as something that seemed both corny and like unbecoming of him?
I was 90% sure on that, and that's not Monday morning quarterbacking. The 10% was like, you know, as somebody who has a book on the LeBron era.
Oh, do you?
Lakers, yeah, right. I might, coming out soon. It would have severely impacted me, right? So I kind of had, probably in a good way, but I had to
You're probably hoping for LeBron to retire.
Correct.
That's his retirement.
Correct, yes. So I have, but I had to sort of prepare for that mentally and be like, you know, what if there is a shot? I thought it was going to be Amazon thing. My take on this is like, I have a take which on this is that it's so beneath him. You said it, but just here's how I phrase it, right? LeBron, one of the things he's going to be most remembered for and he deserves credit for is sort of being the guy who ushered in this player empowerment era and the idea that we own our own businesses, we're the power, all that. And that's the whole group, not just him, Maverick Carter, Rich Paul, all of them. That's the whole thing. And they've been great at it for the most part. You know, RIP Spring Hill. Spring Hill still exists or no?
I think it exists. Yeah, don't kill it off just yet.
But it's on the way, right? And like, so I'm all good. I don't care if guys sell out. I don't care if you want to make $1 million and do a commercial for a day. I would love to do that too, right? God bless. The part that's strange to me is that you are going to leverage your fame and your ability to sort of capture the zeitgeist for the purpose of helping Hennessy sell some more product. It's just so weird. Like, at least do it either for political cause, which is not the stuff he really does anymore. But you remember, you know, there was a point. Once upon a time, he was sort of positioning himself as, you know, maybe I'll kind of go on that path of Muhammad Ali light, right? And he's gone away from that. And I have no issue with that at all. So that's fine. You want to do it for the I Promise School? You want to do it for a company you own, right? Like, even that'd be different. Like, a company you own, that'd be fine. I mean, maybe he's getting points. Maybe he has something where he gets like points on every sale, all the boosted sales that happened since the ad. But just you're doing it. And like, I can imagine him and like the guy, him and his people all texting and being excited about like, look, we got everyone. They're all paying attention to us and they think it's retirement. Ha ha ha. It's not. And like, to what end? Right. Yeah. You got everyone's attention for what? For Hennessy? It's just, I don't know if it's strange, sad, weird, all. It's just, it was beneath him. That's a good way to put it. I find it beneath him. Not that selling out is beneath him. That's not. Like, make your money. Cool. Just doing this for someone else, that part was beneath him, I thought.
There is an irony in all this, right? Like, no one is talking about it. I don't think I've seen anyone make this point yet. There's an irony in the second decision. It's that it repeated the mistakes of the first decision.
That's good, right?
The first decision was a huge PR flub for him, right? It almost changed the narrative and almost the arc of his career.
I like this. Yeah, it's a good take.
It was so bad. It was so bad that he was demonized for a year, not even just in Cleveland, across the country, right? Like, he got so much flack for it. It changed his media strategy. It almost made him open up in a way publicly. It made him embrace the media in a different way. I think there are all these long tail effects of the decision that worked out so well for LeBron James, that helped him understand how to curate his public profile and make him so beloved, right? All that came out of, I think, the decision. And so what does he do this time with the second decision? He again uses his name, his fame, his brand, his platform to bring this attention to himself and disappoint so many people and think he did something that he shouldn't have done and use their time and energy for. It's almost repeating the ills of the past in just a new way, right? Like in this totally new way. And I think that's the great irony of it. It's just he made the same mistake again. He didn't have to. You want to get your money? Go for it. As you said, this is player empowerment, taking your millions of Twitter followers to make people watch an ad for a drink for some alcohol company. Great. Make your money off of it. It was funny to me that this happened all over again, 15 years apart.
I like that. No, I completely agree. And again, like it sounds like I'm drawing a silly line. If he just appeared in a Hennessy commercial, I'd be like, okay, that seemed like, but whatever. Like, I still find it weird that we see him on DraftKings sometimes, right? DraftKings ads. It's like,
it
again,
is
it's fine, but it's just, he's big. I thought he's bigger than that. If not, okay. But I'm drawing a silly line. Like the teaser tweet to me the teaser am I retiring tweet. So the teaser tweet meant to capture attention and command news cycles for 24 hours. Yeah. That to me makes this different than just executing a regular commercial. It really does. I know it sounds ridiculous and it's like a really arbitrary line to be drawing. But to me, that makes it like, no, that's off. As opposed to if you just appear in a Hennessy commercial, cool. I think there'd be a huge difference there. And I can't believe, I mean, honestly, the winner, like, whoever at Hennessy, I want to know how much they're paying him. They paid him. Yeah. And whoever, like, I don't know, if I was sitting around in a Hennessy, I'm not an ad guy, but if I was sitting around in this pitch meeting, I wouldn't even think this was a possibility to pitch. Like, hey, what if we get LeBron to tweet out a decision thing for us and, like, command all the news cycle for 24 hours? I'd be afraid to pitch that. It sounds ridiculous.
Here's my question. Did it actually help sell Hennessy?
It
I know
to.
I got to talk about it. I feel like if you're one of the people who are angered by it, are you drinking it more or less because of this?
I mean, I don't get how anything helps anything sell anything, but it definitely, like, if you're going impressions, it helped, right? Like, more Hennessy was being talked about more than it has. I mean, maybe I'm not in the Hennessy community, but I don't know last time Hennessy.
By the way, I do like a nice glass of Hennessy.
Do you?
I will say, yeah.
At least go,
I mean, the ad worked at least in that way. It got a lot of free impressions. It got a lot of free advertising for the company.
But that's a key part. I'm going to drill that. It worked for them, not for him. And that's the part that I find strange, right? That this is Mr. Player Empowerment putting himself back into labor, right? As opposed to being the management end of things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was a bad decision. It was a bad decision, some people might say. Which is, again, a great segue for my favorite segment of the week. And really, it's the only segment of the week. So, like, what other options are there? I want to end every episode of Business Decision by asking someone to make a good decision of the week and a bad decision of the week. Your own. Do you have a good decision or a bad decision of the week for me?
I'm going bad decision, though. I realize I'm. This is like next time I come on, I have to go happier. I'm going. I'm angry. I have stronger a negative takes today. But my bad decision, and I guess it's almost a double whammy because I don't know who to hand the action of the decision to. But let's just say the Bill Belichick North Carolina marriage is proving to be a bad decision from both ends, right? For both parties. Yeah, it's just a disaster. I'm not even a college football guy, but just the losing, you get bad reports coming out all the time. I feel like every 3 days I see a statement make it across Twitter about Bill Belichick in North Carolina have issued a joint statement declaring storyline X is not true, right? We're allowed to highlight Drake May, or we're not talking about buyouts. We didn't lose by 70 points to this Division II school. It's kind of sad. I mean, listen, the only thing is, like, we might get to the point where Bill Belichick can make himself a sympathetic figure, which I never thought would be possible. If this keeps heading down that path, it is possible. It's interesting to envision an alternate reality where he, he obviously wanted the NFL job and clearly the Patriots were onto something, but where he just stays in the media and evolves into, hey, he's kind of fun media guy here. And I don't know if he can come, maybe he'll go back to that, but just, it would have been interesting to see where that would go. But just, it's very clear that this North Carolina, him deciding to pursue college football and sort of, I'm not going to say save his salvage legacy, but add to it or reclaim it in a way, is backfiring, and North Carolina's decision to give him everything he wanted is a colossal mistake, very clearly.
But you know what's working out well for? Pretty much everyone who's not a Pats fan. Everyone is Schadenfreude right now and is loving this. You're a Jets fan. Are you not enjoying this?
Oh no, I just so uh, there are very I got I don't hate, even when I'm a when I'm an actual fan and I'm not an objective journalist on certain sports, right? I don't usually hate. You know, I'm a Mets and Jets fan. It's like Chase Utley would be in that category, and Bill Belichick would be the king of it, just as a Jets fan. Yeah, I just, and I never, I'm still confused by that letter he wrote to Trump. That one still confuses me. Yeah, we can. And Tom Brady, by the way, big winner on this too, right? I think Tom Brady is between that and the Chiefs falling off. Like, Tom Brady's having a great year right now.
Yeah, I think Tom Brady has become the eternal winner of the Brady Belichick credit wars for that dynasty, right? Like, Belichick was seen as the evil genius behind it all, the diabolical defensive coordinator. No, like, it, that has shifted so much since they split up.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
All right. I'm going to make a good decision call. You're right. Let's bring some positivity in this. This is going to sound a bit, I know what it's going to sound like. I found myself Wednesday night in a New York City restaurant at a dinner with some Amazon people and other reporters there.
As one does.
I was the least important person in the room, undoubtedly. But I happened to sit next to John Wall for a few hours.
Naturally.
And he's going to be awesome on TV. So I'm going to say good decision for Amazon to hire John Wall. That guy's going to be great on TV. I'm going to watch him, and I think he's going to be able to break down the game and also say some interesting stuff, which is what I'm looking for. As I've said before, there are times when I will watch a game on mute because I don't care about the people who are on it, or I think they're actually bad. I will listen to John Wall.
I am genuinely excited. I'll preface this by saying I am one of these, I am not one of these, we'll say NBA and NFL even too, right? I'm not one of these fans who thinks like, who gets annoyed that ESPN talks about the Lakers, or like, why don't you break down, you know, second side pick and rolls more? Like, I think sometimes
you don't know what a second side pick and roll is.
I think sometimes in our bubbles we can overestimate or you know, assume that everyone is the same as us, right? Like, I'm not somebody who gets upset when ESPN does a Lakers segment. That being said, I did find last year for the first time I found myself just during the finals, especially being like this, completely frustrated with ESPN's coverage of the NBA, and I found myself genuinely looking forward. And I think, based on who they're hiring, I'm excited to see what Peacock, NBC, and what Amazon do with their coverage. I think it's gonna be a fun NBA season as a fan. Just, I think there's gonna be some new blood, some new, I'll say viewpoints, but just, you know, things are gonna be attacked in a different way, and I think it's gonna enhance the experience.
Yeah, and by the way, like, I'm actually the same way. Like, I don't care what you talk about as much as long as you make it interesting.
Yeah,
that's the thing. If you talk about the Knicks for the millionth time, make it interesting, and I will watch for the millionth time, right?
Exactly.
It's all about, what are you saying? Is it interesting? Is it new? Is it distinctive? And I don't think that a lot of NBA coverage has been for the last few years on TV. And I think TNT kind of did that a little bit too from time to time. Like, they would fall into the same trap. But the inside of the NBA crew just gets, gets so much more runway. Like, I mean, they will run a bit to death, and it'll be great. Even if I know for a lot of people, they actually hate it. Like, I've seen responses on Twitter, on Blue Sky, where they, NBA fans who don't like the whole, we don't know what's going on, who he played for, but who want their broadcasters to be more knowledgeable about the sport that they're talking about, who want their broadcasters to like the sport, which sometimes doesn't feel like some of those guys do. So I know it's not for everyone. I just want it to be interesting. I want it to be fun. I want it to be informative. That's all I care about in a broadcast. I just don't want the same stuff.
Yeah, no, I think we'll have a show. Inside the NBA is a variety show, which is fine, right? And I'm excited and eager to see what Amazon and NBC's coverage looks like. I think, I think it's going to enhance our experience. I'm repeating, I think it's going to enhance our experiences, or at least I'm hoping that it does.
Yeah, so we'll see. I'm going to wrap it up there. I want to make it a tight 30 this week. It's been a long week. Yaron, thank you for coming on to the show. I appreciate it. I know you can't plug your book. I'm going to plug his book. Go buy it, pre-order it on Amazon. He tweeted about where, if you want to get some other links and not buying on Amazon, support independent places or stuff like that, go do that too. Follow Yaron on Twitter and Blue Sky and TikTok. He's on TikTok now. He's a huge TikTok star, I've been told.
Huge.
Thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to this episode of Business Decision. I'm Mike Borkanov. Please subscribe to the show on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast so you can get it whichever way you want, or every single which way you can get it. I'll catch you guys on the next edition of Business Decision, and hope you have a great weekend.